Let's start off with a little word of prayer this morning. Father, Lord, I do thank you for showing us that we need you. I need you today, Father. Lord, I ask you to just this morning, Lord, as we prepare to listen to this sermon today and this message, that you truly allow the Holy Spirit to embrace us, Lord, to take over us and just empty us out completely so we could be filled with your love and the way you want us to direct us, Father. We pray this morning, Lord, that just our hearts, our minds, everything is clear, and that we're able to truly just listen to your words and leave out the outside distractions. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. So we all have a friend. You know, growing up, I always used to listen to this song, and I actually still do, to be honest with you, because I love loud music, and I'm not going to lie, pretend I don't. I love loud music, and I always have. I still have woofers in my Jeep, but I bump Christian music. But every once in a while, I go old school, but I used to listen to this song by Phil Collins all the time. It's called In the Air Tonight, and I love that song till this very day. And before I knew the meaning of the song or what was really intended for, I could always sing that note. And I'm not a singer, but I will sing in my car because the music's loud and that's pretty much it, right? And so he would say, I could feel it in the air tonight, oh Lord. I used to think about, what the heck is this guy talking about? What is he feeling? You know, is there something out there? And my mind would be wandering all over the place. I would be like here, there, and there, and there. But yet, I couldn't see anything, nor could I feel anything, but the woofers beating down my back, right? And today it makes me wonder, is there something out there? Is there something out there that we can't see, we can't touch, but we know the reality of it is really there? And it took many years in life to really realize that there was something out there in that air that was calling me. Today we're going to learn a little bit about how the Holy Spirit empowers us. And through his grace and gift, he encourages and calls us to do truly more and to truly do things of him. Now, growing up, we all had a best friend, right? How many of you guys remember your best friend? Like, I mean, as an adult, you have best friends, right? But when you were growing up, your first best friend, you guys shared every moment together. You guys talked all your dirty secrets together. You guys did everything together, inseparable. Now, relationships as an adult get in the way, so they're not so close. But that very best friend, you guys were probably very inseparable. You guys took the time to learn about each other. You even had the feeling when something was wrong, you felt your best friend like, oh man, something's wrong, I got to get there. You know, we also have a friend. And our friend is called the Holy Spirit. He's here to guide us, to protect us, to give us very beautiful insight. But most of all, he's here to motivate us, to push us into uncomfortable water sometimes, to make sure that God is getting the glory in the midst of all what's going on in our lives. So today, I want you to recap that best friend moment. And put Jesus in there. Put Jesus in that best friend moment. Because you know what? Jesus is our best friend. Jesus is trustworthy. He's loyal. He clears paths for us all the time. And he helps us against any element that comes against us. And that's the proven, fact. Look at your life now. You're not in the seat because you wanted to come this morning. God already had prepared for you to come here because you allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of your life somehow, to move you to get in that car, to move you to come in these pews. He empowers us. And we've been walking through the book of Acts. We're probably in like 6 months in, right, guys? Somewhere around there. It's been a little little distance, but it's okay because we're learning it. And that's the important thing. The book of Acts is something that really encouraged us as a small group to step out in faith, to be bold, to do things different. There are so many characters in that book of Acts that truly teach us what Christ-like is and not to be afraid. Today we live in a time and an era that that we need the Holy Spirit even more. So many people have gone away from Christianity and so for the love of God and put other things in place of Him. We as the Christ followers need to make something different and turn the wheels to show them that the Holy Spirit still leads. And sure, these apostles in the beginning of the time, right? They were all doing miraculous signs and wonders and doing all this great stuff. But that's because they truly loved God. See, we're all in the valley. We're all in the valley, and sometimes we're at a high peak. But to truly, truly fall in love with God and truly obey Him, we must drop down to that valley and learn how to climb out. And you know who climbs us out? Who grabs a hold of us and pushes and brings us out? The Lord Jesus Christ. There is nobody else that brings us out. Not our husband or our wife, son or daughter. There is nobody else. But His hand stretches bigger than anything else. It comes. And I know for myself, I've been in that valley. I still live in that valley. And I pray every day that God reaches in there and brings me out. But even in that valley, God uses you. In the books of Acts 5, and I'm not going to go over the stories. I mean, read the scripture. You can look upon them yourself if you like. But in the book of Acts 5, 5:17 to 24, all these disciples that were put into jail, John and Peter were put in jail, and guess what happened next? An angel came in and kicked down the door and let them out. And that just goes to tell me that anytime we're in bondage, God will come and kick down that door and release us from it. And that's what He does. Every single time when we allow the Holy Spirit to truly take control of us and really move us and really empty ourselves and become of Him, that's when God does miraculous and wonders and does special things through you as an individual. These 12, these disciples, were ordinary men. They had beards. They had sandals. Probably some of them cared about what they were wearing that day. Sounds like us, right? Ordinary people that God uses every single day. They were fishermen. He didn't use this elite crew. He didn't use everybody else that was all this theological people. He used people that wanted to really, truly give their hearts to Him. And it's funny because in the work world, I just heard this the other day because I took a young lady to get an application. And she said, and I said, how did it go? And she told me, he asked me if I ever worked in a restaurant. And I looked at her and I knew the answer already because I worked in a restaurant for a very long time. And she turned around and said, he was glad that I didn't because I couldn't develop any bad habits. Right? And so, I think maybe Jesus picked those ordinary people because they could fall in love with Him more intentionally, and they would follow Him to the fullest, right? In Acts 5, 25, 32, we find the disciples and still teaching. They're teaching in the temple courts. But yet again, many times through this book, There's a lot of interrogations. There's a lot of courts. There's a lot of, we find everybody getting interrogated because they love Christ. And it was by a particular group that held their standards way up high. This group, they knew Jesus. They knew God. They knew the laws. But they honestly thought they were above it. And here, in this particular passage, we find Peter. And if you ever read your Bible, you know about Peter. Peter's a from the Gospels. Peter was a knucklehead. He was very savvy, didn't listen well. Peter always stood up for Jesus. Any given moment, he was ready. Peter was probably good with words. His mouth probably got him in trouble more than anything else. But here was Peter, allowing the Holy Spirit to boldly take control of him and talk to these people that were in power about Jesus Christ. He was talking to them about a message about salvation, about the resurrection, about something that was important. He didn't allow them to persuade him. His strength was with the Holy Spirit. He gave his fullness to him. And so God was returning that and using Peter, the knucklehead, the ordinary person, to lead these people through this time of history. And the crazy thing about it, because of this situation, and just like many situations in the book of Acts, many became to follow Christ. It's no different from our situation here. We all have different circumstances in our lives. We have different things. But are we scared to speak up for Jesus? Are we kind of nervous to let the Holy Spirit really take control of us, to really work through us in a way where I don't care what that person thinks about me? What I do care about is what Jesus thinks about me. Because here on earth, we're just passing through, right? It's a small time of our life. And I promise you, the eternal life that's going to be waiting for us, it's going to be such a happier and better place. But how do we get there? By truly allowing the Holy Spirit to really work through us. This morning, and I learned to ask myself this simple question all the time too. Every morning I start off a prayer. And my two prayer requests to Jesus is, Lord, use me today to help somebody in a major way. And Lord, are you the Lord of my life? Every morning I start off with those simple words. Because if I truly, even what's eating me up at night before I go to sleep, when I release that, I'm going to allow God to work through me. That's the importance of it, that we allow God just to do his magic on us. And then there was Stephen. And I'm beginning to think sometimes if Stephen had more of a, he had a bigger picture in the Bible, I wonder what it would be, because Stephen was a man full of God. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And some of you guys know my background a little bit, but when I was willing to be a bad person, I was willing to die for a color, for a street, for a town that I don't even pay taxes in no more. Right? And there was no benefits. So why can't I speak up boldly and let the Holy Spirit really, truly empower me to be willing to die for Him? To be willing to die for the purposes and the cause that Jesus Christ stands for. There's a difference between sitting comfortable and not letting God move you. In this life, we get too comfortable. We enjoy the good things. We enjoy the good life. We enjoy... Yeah, sure, it's all a blessing sometimes. But when it becomes too comfortable, I don't believe that God's getting the glory. When we don't allow God to use us the way He wants to use us, our spiritual connection takes effect. Stephen, he was also interrogated. He was taken to the end of the town. They were going to stone this guy. And he knew what was going to happen. But yet he stepped forward in faith. And still, he talked about Abraham. He talked about Moses. He gave his history of how he became about and how Jesus Christ was here. He didn't care that they were going to kill him. He didn't care what was going on. He let the Holy Spirit truly embrace him. A lot of us weren't willing to do that, right? And Stephen knew. He knew God's plan. And the only thing that Stephen really realized that day was that God was going to use his death to bring others to Christ. Look at Paul. Paul was in the midst of this thing. Paul gave the green light. Paul said, hey, you know, stone this guy. Behind those things, Paul became a missionary for the church and brought so many people to Christ, brought so many people to their knees to serve and love God because he, Stephen, allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. There's nothing without the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our best friend. They speak with boldness, with loudness. And if I told you something this morning, you guys think Pastor Jose, you're crazy as heck. But I'm not. Because I told myself that I was going to allow God to use me and not hold back anymore. Because that's who the God that dragged me out of that valley picked me up and saved me and said, go. Do my work, my son. But God wants to stretch every single one of us. And it's just not a little stretch like this big, right? God is in the stretching business. He wants to stretch us to where we're uncomfortable with what we're doing as long as it's glorifying Him. He wants to stretch us in those situations where we don't think there's a way out. But when's the last time you really fell on your knees, cried to the Abba Father, and said, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. When's the last time? To really release everything and give it to Him, surrender it all. We lived in in a world that's comfortable. A year and a half ago, I used to think I was on a high peak like this valley, this thing. Oh, God has humbled me in the last year and a half. He's dropped me down to my knees. He taught me humility. And I wouldn't be able to sit here and tell you that didn't happen, but it did happen. And that's because God never gave up. Even though at some point in time in my life, I wanted to give up on God, even as a pastor. But he embedded that Holy Spirit in me and said, Jose, my son, I created you from day one to do something greater, and the plan is bigger. Hold on to me a little bit longer. Trust in me. I'm your best friend. Just like that best friend that you're willing to die with and do everything when you were young. Serving Jesus and letting him go has way better benefits. You know, God often calls us out of our comfort zone. He tells us to go. And that's in order for us to truly fulfill the plans that he had for us here on earth. In this study, we read a passage and it talked about a balcony, about a young man, about God sitting on top of a balcony in heaven. And wouldn't it be beautiful if God stood up on his balcony and looked over, just like the day he looked over at Stephen, and he said, well done, my servant. You allowed the Holy Spirit to work through you. God wants to stretch us. Allow him to stretch you. Allow him to move you, to make you do things that you don't want to do. And the crazy thing about it, that every risk that we take with God, God already has it planned, and he gives us all the resources. We don't do it alone. And so next time you feel that Holy Spirit tugging, you really feel him moving you, let him work through you. Is there something in the air? Yes, there is. Is there something calling us? Yes, there is. But we're our biggest obstacle, letting God work through us. We have so many things that are going on in life that are so much important. Social media. Oh, that's just tearing us apart as we speak, right? We don't even take the value of a family no more, because every time I go to a family event, everybody's on their stinking phones. We as a society have gone so far away from Christ. And we can sit here and tell that we're all saved, we're all saints, we're all doing it. But nobody else knows the heart but Jesus, and all of us know the truth. And I'm okay with people feeling a little, oh, is he talking to me? No. That's Jesus talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's something that needs to change in your life. I know in my life there's always something that has to change. I'm by far from perfect. But I know I'm allowed God to use me. And if he keeps dragging me through the dirt, I'm going to hang on to his cloth. Because I ain't letting go. He hasn't let go of me from day one since he created me. Why should I stop loving him now? And I know I'm speaking from the heart. Because that's how I truly feel. I had passages written all over this morning. But I know God wants to do something bigger to us through all of us as a church. Ordinary people. You don't have to have a special title. You don't have to be a special lead person in your church. You just got to be a person after God's own heart. That's what separates us, just like Stephen. He was a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have a friend in Jesus. And then there's that promise. That very special promise that he died on that cross for us. He said, if you give it all to me, I'll return it back with eternal life. We all want that eternal life. But what we do here sets the foundation. I want you guys' hearts to truly change. I want my heart to truly change. There's something more about loving Jesus than just being a routine. I could open up my Bible anytime, read a passage. But am I really living out that passage? There's so many things that God wants to do through us and with us because he never leaves us. Not through anything, any circumstance, not through anything in life does he leave us. So this morning I challenge you guys. I challenge you guys to really empty your hearts. To fill it with the Holy Spirit. Because I think we all need it. Our culture needs the God-loving, fearing people back in our homes, back in our communities, back in our families. What we do today affects tomorrow. And God's plan is bigger. So I want you guys to really, truly think about that. Because I sit there and wonder all the time where I have to change my life. What I have to surrender. And if it takes a good falling to your knees and crying it all out to cleanse that heart, that's what the doctor ordered. Let him have the will in your heart. Father, Lord, I do thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, that you have given us, Lord, to provide us in the time of comfort, the time of pain, and the time of happiness, Father. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, it's an encourager, Father. It's a powerful message to our hearts that we're able just to be truly of yours, Lord, when we open ours. Lord, this morning I ask, Lord, that I know there's people out there, Father, because we're just ordinary people. We all have hurts. We all have struggles. We all have life situations out of our control. But there's just something more. When we lean on you, Father, and I'm not saying, Father, that the hurt's still not going to hurt. The pain's not going to be pain. But there's that sense of peace, Lord, that we are powerless without you, Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to be bold. I'm an ordinary person. I thank you for everybody in this congregation, Lord, and everybody that's here today, Father. We just pray for all their families, Lord. We just pray for miracles and signs of wonders, Lord. That them too may see the greater picture. At no cost, Father, we should be fearless, and we should lean on you and trust on you, just as you do every single day for us, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.